Life, health, home, travel, and more. Life Matters, brought to you by Mercy Health, a passion for making lives better.
Is the laugh button working?
Good, all right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Life Matters is on your radio, Lake 96.1.
Well, here we are.
Here we are, another week, a little bit closer to the election. And it's just on everybody's
mind.
Thank
God.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, I was going to call you after I got home last week, and then I didn't. And I was going to ask you if you could possibly create a promo that says, yeah, we're sick of it, too.
We are sick of it.
Because, see, you guys all have a choice of whether or not you listen.
Right.
We do not.
No, we do not.
We have to listen all day. And then we have to produce all these political commercials. And we have to. So trust me. The end is near. Just hang in there with us.
Yes.
We are sick of it, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just think, next week at this time, it's coming. It will be right at the finish line.
Right.
So,
right.
Very excited about that.
Yeah.
I am. Everybody is. But I'm so excited to get out and vote and get my sticker. I'll probably, even if I have to wait in a long line, it's going to be well worth it.
Oh, wow, absolutely.
I'll just make friends.
Can you make friends 6 feet apart?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You can make
my
friends anywhere.
Carries.
Like you.
maybe just just camp out like it's Black Friday. Set up a tent.
Okay. Black Friday. I don't think people are going to be doing that this year. So many stores are not going to be open.
No,
which
they're
is
not.
Finally.
It took a pandemic to not have them open.
Right, to figure out that maybe we should take a day off from beating each other up over a toaster.
Mm-hmm. And a TV.
TV? No, I don't know.
Really?
That's okay.
That's where you draw the line.
Right.
No, who just came out? Target just announced their Black Friday that they are not going to be open early, I think it was.
Right.
Or on Thursday. Did you see that?
I Walmart, know many, 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 many of them are saying they're not going to be open on Thanksgiving like they have been.
Walmart is expanding it over four weekends, just spreading
Black
that out.
Black Friday?
Yeah, they are. They're doing the Black Weekend, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Everything.
But instead of like Black Friday, yes, they're just having deals over 4 weekends.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that makes sense.
Don't they do that now?
Pretty much.
And they just call it a different name at the holidays?
Right.
You know?
I don't know. I've never been a huge Black Friday. You know the extent of my husband and I, our big Black Friday shopping is at Menards.
Yeah.
Right, you know.
I love
it. Ooh, we can go get that linoleum. Ooh. Yeah.
I love it. Once again, that's every day, though.
We're all over that.
I
walk by an end cap. Oh, there's an outdoor rug.
End caps. You can find so many good things there. A lot of discontinued items, a lot of one of a kind things. So check every end cap wherever you go.
Those pretzels.
Yeah.
$3 for $10.
Yes.
Woohoo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're real heavy Black Friday shoppers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't really bother me that much that they're making those changes.
I've only shopped on Black Friday maybe a couple times.
Yeah.
I've always worked in retail. Not always, but after working in retail, you just try to avoid it at all costs.
I mean, I can get that stuff anywhere.
Right.
Anytime.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not worth it.
No.
Oh, you know, have you heard that Melga's Car Wash is doing this haunted car wash thing?
Yes.
I haven't been.
I haven't either, and I want to.
It's just on
go.
The weekends. Mm-hmm. But they're running, they're doing it from 8 on Saturday and Sunday from 8 until midnight.
Mm-hmm.
8 in the morning until midnight.
That's
so
awesome.
You have all day. Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah,
I know Courtney
awesome.
And I were talking about that this week. We're like, we have to go.
It's family friendly.
It's perfect.
You know, but
it's good.
Yeah, $20. Get your car washed.
Heck yes.
Get
scared.
Scared.
I've never even had that happen in a car wash.
Be scared?
Well, once in a while if I'm with my husband. I'm like, oh, geez. Oh, that's
I didn't
who you are.
You were there.
You're always on the shop.
My first text from my husband this morning, by the way, was, I need a cane.
What?
I don't know.
He needs a cane? Did he hurt his back or knee or what?
His knee hurts or something. I don't know.
Oh, Ty.
I mean,
he needs a cane.
Yeah, I don't think you need a cane.
No.
He's not dramatic at all.
Not at all.
I don't know where the kids
not your
get
husband.
It. No. I need a cane. I'm not going to be married to somebody with a cane.
You know?
Yet.
Yet. Right.
Suck it up, buddy.
Yep. That's anyway. So interesting that you say the same thing because I tell Larry, whatever you do, you just, I'm not going to come visit you.
Don't bother
getting
old.
So whatever you do, right. Stay out of any type of home before me.
Right. Yeah. You, on the other hand, will be visiting me.
Well, we might be together.
So. And bringing me my Starbucks.
Yes. Just so and everybody know. Will be like, well, people walk in, don't even get me started. Be our thing.
We'll be saying that until
yes.
we die.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, speaking of that, that'll be at the end of the show, of course. Mm-hmm. I know everybody looks so forward to it. But coming up, we have, to all these people who say, I never have anybody on the show that doesn't agree with me,
mm-hmm.
you're incorrect. Catherine right. Gaulke, she is the Democratic candidate for state assembly against Tyler August, coming up on the ballot on the 3rd. She joins us next. Talk about her views, her points of view, things like that, and what she believes is the important part of getting this job done in the state assembly. So she's next right here on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
All right, we're back.
We are back.
I know. We're getting into, like, we're down to the wire. We're right. down to the
How
wire.
How many days now? Yes.
Right, to the election.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's less than 2 weeks away. A week from Tuesday, joining us this morning is Dr. Catherine Gaulke. She is the candidate for State Assembly.
Yes.
District 32, right?
Mm, yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So I'm just going to say this right up front. Okay, you and I know that you and I are on opposite sides of the spectrum here.
Yes.
We know that. We have traveled about and we completely understand that. And I have had people ask me, and have you heard the promo for this show that's running right now for this particular show? And it says, why would I sit here and argue with someone for an hour?
No, I haven't.
It's my show.
Right. Because somebody asked me, why don't you never have anybody on the show that, you know, that has the opposite opinion of you? And I said, first of all, I do because Catherine comes on.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
When she runs.
This was an email somebody
sent
you.
Right. And I said, but it's my show. Why would I sit here and argue with someone for an hour, right? Because if you want to argue, get your own show. I don't know what to say. So here we are. Right.
Yes.
So we are, you know, there are a lot of things that I read and that, you know, that we are on opposite sides of the spectrum, but that doesn't mean that I don't understand why, you know, and where you're coming from. I get where you're coming from. I just don't know that it's, you know, one of my favorite words is sustainable, balance, you know, and the perspectives that everybody's looking at.
Yep.
But we're going to talk about a few of those things today. One of the things that I definitely want to talk about, though, since 2018, when you ran against Tyler August, you've actually, there's other things that you've been doing as well. So tell us a little bit about that first.
So I got elected as the Town of Delavan Supervisor in 2019, and I've been serving there now since then. I'm the chair of the Lake Committee, the Park and Tourism Committee, the Emergency Government Committee, and the Finance Committee. So we're pretty busy in the Town of Delavan, and we got a lot of great things going on. So that takes up a lot of my time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also now the board secretary for the United Way of Walworth County, and I am the treasurer for the Delavan Lake Improvement Association, and I have been appointed to the State Treasurer's Task Force, and we're looking at property taxes and how we can keep people from going into foreclosure and looking at what kind of information can we make clearer and better, and what kind of partnerships can we do to make that not happen?
So let's start with that.
Okay.
So that has to be right now about one of the most challenging questions out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because before the pandemic, we'll say, you know, BP, before a pandemic, those issues would arise because people had, you know, people going into foreclosure is what I'm specifically talking about, because people had medical bills that they can't cover, you know, just job loss and things like that. Now they are going into foreclosure because of something that is 150% out of their control. Like, they would love to go to work. They would like, they're perfectly able-bodied people with jobs, and they're shut down.
Right.
By absolutely no control of their own. So mm-hmm. how is that committee addressing that in this with this enormous amount of trouble?
Right. So one of the things that we're developing is early intervention programs, so we can tell when a person might start to default so that then we can connect them to programs. So there are programs out there to help individuals in those scenarios, and we want to connect them to that so that then they don't default on their property taxes. And so we're trying to make easier to read. I don't know if you ever have looked at the stuff you get in your property tax bill. It's not always easy to read, right? So we're trying mm-hmm. to make easy to read material that is visually pleasing, that really highlights those key things so that it's just not a whole bunch of words, right? So that you're like, call this number.
Right.
So that people will really know where to go to seek that information. And then really talking with the treasurers about how we can work with people and start to maybe prevent the evictions that are caused by property taxes not being paid versus, you know, because obviously people have a ton of things that they are focusing on, like food on their table and
right.
prescription mm-hmm. drugs,
right.
right? You know, and so property taxes, we want to avoid someone having to get foreclosed just because they didn't pay their property taxes. So it's about making people aware you need to respond to those letters. And if you respond to them, you can be placed in programs and you can prevent this from happening. And it's
so
about communication.
Right. So they're not necessarily looking at how to keep people in their homes because they can't pay the mortgage, though.
Right. Yeah.
It's just it's specifically the property taxes.
It is. It's the property taxes side. And then trying to connect them to other resources on like financial counseling. And then also there are some programs that can help with the mortgages and like making people aware of those. But mostly it's about don't ignore your property tax bill. So many
right.
people like, right, they're in these situations and you don't want to deal with it. And they just put it all to the side and they don't call anyone.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Sure is. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And right now, so many more people are overwhelmed because, again, of things that are completely out of their control.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and of course, medical bills and job loss and things like that are out of their control as well.
Yep.
But today, that's a completely different scenario.
It is.
That's
correct.
Not because of the economy. It's not because of anything. It's because of things that, again, you and I are on opposite sides of whether or not we agree on whether or not shutdowns and things like that. And
well,
we are,
I think we should prevent shutdowns from the future by really investing in our public health infrastructure.
So let's talk about that for a second, though.
Yeah.
It came out last week, or I read last week. I'm sure it's been out there, but I read last week that the governor shifted CARES Act funds, and one of the ways that he shifted those funds was out of the, he took 60-some percent out of the category, so to speak, that allowed hospitals to prepare for a surge, the quote surge fund, okay? So if we are not preparing for surges so that we can control better, treat better, get people back on their feet quicker, how are we supposed to prevent all of this? Because defaulting on your mortgage, not being able to pay this, not being able to pay that, that's called collateral damage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how do we control that? Like, how do we get the governor to look and say and prepare properly? Because so many people don't think he is.
Well, I think there's a couple of things that need to be done. One, the legislature needs to meet. It is unacceptable for that the last 6 months the legislature has not been meeting. And if they want to have influence over how those funds are being utilized and what's being done with them, they need to be communicating with the governor. So it's the same thing with the property taxes. You have to be communicating. And I have been incredibly disappointed with all the gaveling in and all the gaveling out. If you have a solution, you should be meeting, you should be talking about it, propose it to the governor. If he vetoes it, they have enough power. They could still override that veto potentially and put it into law, right? So, like, the fact that they are not doing anything, that they are not working for us, that is a problem. So you cannot put this all on the governor because the legislature has not met in 6 months, and that is a huge problem. When I'm elected, I will work for you. I will go to work. When we're in a pandemic or something bad is happening, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be proposing bills. I'm going to be there trying to solve these problems. You know, if I disagree with what the governor is doing, if I disagree with how the Department of Health and Human Services is doing something, I am going to be there fighting. And that is what needs to be happened. So one, the legislature needs to be meeting and proposing solutions and not just complaining. That is a huge problem. And not just filing expensive lawsuits on our dime.
Keeping in mind that none of them are meeting on either side.
Well, when we called the governor has called the legislature to meet multiple times, and each time my opponent has gaveled in and out immediately with no discussion, with not even proposing his own solutions. That's a problem. And so that needs to be fixed. So also when we're talking about this, we need to have local testing, right? So I don't know if you heard, I did have COVID. I'm recovered.
Oh, you know what? When we talked on the phone a little while ago, you said you were in quarantine, but I wasn't sure why, and it's not like I don't ask.
right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
right. It's not, yeah. You know, HIPAA.
So
for
how
one.
Are you feeling?
I'm good.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. I was lucky. I had a very mild case. Mm-hmm. But going to get tested was a huge pain. I had to drive all the way to Milwaukee first to get my children tested and then to get my husband and I tested and then to continuously get the testing because when my children got it first. And so our whole family was in quarantine. And then I had a couple really odd symptoms. My tongue was burning, and then I got the loss of taste and smell. I never, ever had a fever. And so then had to drive all the way back to Milwaukee. My husband had to take half days of work because driving to Milwaukee, driving to Racine, there wasn't any free local testing, right? So if we want to get a handle on this, we have to have free local testing here. Like,
so then that's a point that you have to disagree with the governor on because the federal money is there to make that happen, and he didn't do it.
Right. We need free local testing.
Right.
But
so
it's not that I disagree
with
that.
Do that.
That's why the legislature should have met and said, this is what you need to do.
Right. But the governor knows he needs to do that. Right. Like, how does he not know that this needs to happen like this? But everybody has communicated that to him. Right.
To me, the legislature, if you want something done, you're supposed to be a balance of government, right? We have the three branches, right? And if you feel that one branch is not doing the right thing, you should be meeting and proposing legislation. And that has not happened. So had I been in office, I would have, when the governor called everyone together to start meeting and talking, I would have said, listen, I think we need to make sure there's that local testing everywhere. Thankfully, Open Arms Free Clinic has now stepped up and they're doing testing on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday mornings for a couple hours. But it's like before that, I heard from so many residents that I can't afford to take a half day off of work. You know, I'm barely, you're right, like mm-hmm. the job market is in such a way like you can't leave. You have mm-hmm. to keep, you know, and so they can't go and they can't get tested. So how are you supposed to keep control of a disease when people can't get tested?
But and there have been free testing sites around in Walworth County.
But they're not consistent, right?
Right.
You exactly. know, like
right. yeah,
if you have your symptoms today, that's when you want to get tested, you know, mm-hmm. or your family. Like my husband's work required that he have the test results and, show that he was tested. You know,
right.
employers request this mm-hmm. information. And so I had one resident tell me that, you know, she went through the health system and it was $1,400 that got billed to her insurance company. And so these are some things we need to address. So in preparing for that, I would really like to, one, make a plan and get it in place so that every county, especially District 32, where we live, has the opportunity for local consistent testing for whatever pandemic or whatever is in our future, right? We've known this could happen. I mean, do you guys remember the Dustin Hoffman movie Outbreak mm-hmm. way back in the mm-hmm. day, you know, early 90s? Like, we've known this could happen.
Well, it's happened before.
Right.
You know,
yes.
I mean, we've had stuff like this.
Right. Well, not to, I mean, this disease is a...
It's
different. It's more deadly, but not to this degree. And so we don't have the infrastructure in place that we haven't. And that's disappointing that there's been funding taken away from public health over the last 10 years. And so things have kind of laxed up. We've gotten a little bit too comfortable. Like, you know, some people don't wash their hands. Now people are like, oh, I should wash my hands. This is some things that people laxed up on that. Why did you ever lax up on it? We need to make sure that we are investing in the public health structure, that we are having the conversations with the hospitals. What do you need? How can we stay prepared? You know, and it's been concerning as the metric changes. So I know our township, we got CARES Act money, and we have used it to buy PPE. We've used it to sanitize our playground equipment because so many people are going outside now. Mm-hmm. And so we've been investing it, the money that we've gotten in our township, into doing things like that. So I really think you can't blame this all on the governor. There's more than one branch of government that's responsible here, and there is the legislative branch hasn't met in 6 months. We've had a pandemic. We've had problems. Why aren't they proposing their solutions? And that's what needs to change.
I don't disagree with them. I think that they should have met. I do agree with that. But I don't think they should have to meet for the governor to know that this is what the needs are. I mean, it doesn't take the legislature to figure that out. I mean, you and I just sat here and figured it out. Mm-hmm. Like, how hard is this? You know, and so I sort of disagree with that. Like, I don't think the governor, I don't think that anybody needs to meet. This is common sense. All you have to do is open your eyes every morning and see what the heck is going on here.
Right.
And when you turn around and you cut 62% or whatever it was out of the fund and you move it to something else that... And you should have taken that money and prepared everybody for this and continued to invest. Like, why does it take the legislator to get this guy to do that? This, mm-hmm. That's what my problem is. Right. Like, you shouldn't have to be worried about that in the first place. Like, the legislator shouldn't have to make him do it. So that's kind of where I was going with it. It's just not like that. Just doesn't make any sense. How do you feel about the fact that restaurants just got cut back down to 25%? How do you meet the needs then of the people that aren't making any money? We are required here at this radio station, which, by the way, is a small business. We are owned by one guy. Okay, we're not owned by a corporation. Mm-hmm. We don't get to rob Peter to pay Paul. We are required by the FCC, the federal government, to operate at 100% because we are providing the community a public service. Mm-hmm. Because Melody is so funny. It's a public service, and she is so entertaining, and her and Courtney in the morning, like, we are required now to have that because people cannot live without them.
People need to laugh.
That's
for
right.
Sure.
That is right.
This is true.
So we're required, but I don't even get a choice. Like, I don't get to shut down. I don't get to operate at 25% on 25% of my staff. I don't get to do any of that. I have to operate at 100%. So, I mean, we're fine. We're managing. But how do you balance that? And the hundreds and thousands of people who haven't received any
unemployment.
Yes. He was given suggestions on how to solve that problem.
Yep.
Take these people and move them to the unemployment office in the government because they can help process these claims. How do you solve that problem? How do you balance these issues? You can't shut these people down anymore.
I know I'm going to sound like a broken record, but as an assemblywoman, when I get there, that is where the importance of meeting comes, right? The legislative branch is supposed to have some oversight. The legislative branch is supposed to recommend problems and solutions, give bills to the governor to sign, and help direct how all of that is done. And so the legislative branch needs to be meeting right now and saying, okay, here are our ideas on how we can help the local businesses. Here are our ideas on this. And forming task force and groups to say, let's bring in the Nancy's. Let's bring in all these small businesses. Let's bring in the restaurants. Let's bring in the taverns. Let's talk about how can we keep people safe and keep your business functioning. And let's make that work. And then in all of that, also, we need to fix the unemployment system because it's broken. I hear from residents constantly about how they waited 3-4 months. We need an easier to use form. We need a better, quicker way to respond so that people don't have the financial hardships. But it's about the legislature meeting, and that if we have disagreements with how the governor, no matter who it is, no matter what party they are, right, the legislative branch needs to be doing their job, which is we need to be proposing bills that solve the problems. We know what the problems are, right? Whether they are self-created, you say, or not, right? Mm-hmm. We know what they are, so let's propose solutions to them. It's very, very difficult, and it's a hard situation. That's where we have to involve public health experts, and then we have to involve the business owners, and we have to come to a consensus. And I think that's a big problem in our government today, is that we have this either or, and you have to be this or you have to be that, instead of us both saying, okay, how can we make this work? How can we make this small business survive so that they can continue to pay their employees, so that they can continue to operate, and at the same time, keep those employees safe and their patrons safe, right? How can we do that? Let's talk about that. You know, is there training we need to do from a state level? Is there some sort of funding, grant, subsidy program we need to do? What do we need to do to make that happen? Let's make some legislation about that. Let's get it to the governor, and then let's see what he says, right? Now we have had our say in what we want to see done. Because once again, he's doing, I think, what he thinks is best. I believe he's listening to his experts, right? And so now the legislative branch needs to do their job and propose alternatives.
So you don't...
I just feel like people feel like that, especially in the restaurants and these other areas, that, okay, you can... They opened up a little bit more and then back to the 25%. They have to feel just like a ping pong ball on a table, you know, on the table, just like going back and forth.
Yeah, you can't.
How
run
do
a
you
business
even
that way.
Plan yeah. for that?
Right.
How can you? And why doesn't he see that? Why doesn't he see that these businesses are going to be closed and they will shut their doors? Generations are losing, like family generations are losing their businesses because of this.
I'm sure he does see that, but he also sees the increased deaths, you know.
But we have flattened the curve. This is what we were doing.
We haven't flattened the curve. It continues to go up and over, and we're actually, our hospitals are getting really close to capacity. And
see,
so that's what they're trying to prevent. If you go to the Department of Health's website and you look at the, they have the little metrics there, and they're measured red, yellow, green. And if you look at the Wisconsin Health News newspaper that comes out every single day, they are expressing the concerns on that. And I take the Wisconsin Health News as a reliable source for health information. And they are expressing in their articles, in their interviews, that the hospitals in our state are getting to capacity. And so I
but that's
wouldn't
what,
say
that's
we.
That's the problem, is he had money to prepare them for that, and he didn't do it.
But he did address it, other problems with the pandemic. And at any point, the legislature could have met and allocated funds to help with this also, and they have not. And so it's, you can't blame it on this one person. All the three branches of government are not doing their job, in particular the legislative branch. Seriously, who gets paid $50,000 a year and doesn't have to work for 6 months? Unacceptable. You're telling me about how all these people are struggling right now. Meanwhile, the legislature is raking in the money. They get really good benefits. They get really good retirement. They don't have the deductible problems that we have. And they don't go to work to try and help us. Unacceptable. That
See,
has to change.
And I don't believe that anybody that hasn't managed or owned a business should be representing anybody else in the community. And here's why. Because the government's a business.
Yep.
Okay. It might be a loss, but, you know, we might. Okay. But it's a business.
Right.
All right. So my problem with Governor Evers is that Governor Evers has never, ever, ever had a job where he had to suffer any kind or sacrifice any of his income ever. Because nobody in the educational system has had to do that. So no, it doesn't matter what happens to him. It doesn't matter what happens to the lieutenant governor. It doesn't matter what happens to any of these people. They're not sacrificing anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
And
this is why Trump's attitude is what it is. Okay. If his business, he does or used to, because now he's just where he is. If your business suffers, the owner suffers first. And if people don't get that, it's the owner and the managers and the upper management that suffer first, or at least a properly run business, that's exactly how it should. Your employees shouldn't be suffering. That's
I wouldn't
the
say
way
that all businesses
here.
Are running it that way. Thank you, Nancy, for being a good employer.
But that's, you're right. But that's, you're right. That's not how businesses are always run. Mm-hmm. Certainly not how the government is run. But if you haven't ever experienced that sacrifice, you can't represent businesses, right? because you don't know what it's like to say, I'm going to forego my paycheck for 2 weeks because I got to make sure my payroll taxes are paid. Mm-hmm. And the governor has never experienced that. So he doesn't understand that the restaurants in Lake Geneva cannot operate at 25% capacity. Done. They can't. That is not sustainable.
I would agree with you that we need leaders that have experienced these things. It's also one of the things I don't like about our current opponent, my opponent. He's been a career politician his whole life, and he does not know what it's like to own your own business. I know what it's like to own your own business. He doesn't know what it's like to have a really high deductible because he has a really nice plan that he voted for himself. He doesn't know what it's like to have your business say to you, I'm sorry, we're suffering this year. We're in a recession. We're not going to be matching your 401k. We're not going to be contributing anything to your statement. No, because he gets a really cool pension because he's part of the government. So I agree 100% that we need leaders who actually know what it's like to be a real person, who've had real jobs, who know what it's like to struggle when you get that big bill from Aurora like I just got in the mail. I had a letter from my insurance company saying that my daughter's physical therapy was pre-approved, but I guess not. $956 later, I'm trying to pay this bill. I know what that's like. And I have friends who have small businesses. And I 100% want to help small businesses. And that's why I want us to form a task force. I want the legislature to meet. I want us to hear from these experts in these fields. How can we solve this for you, right? How can we keep the patrons and your employees safe and keep you in business at the same time? And then let's make that happen. And those are the conversations that need to be happening, and they aren't, right? I mean, that's your complaint, is they aren't happening. That's my complaint, that they aren't happening. I see the legislature having a role in that. I see the legislature trying to be the leader in that, and they are not. And that is very concerning to me.
So we're talking with Dr. Catherine Gaulke. She is the Democratic opponent to Tyler August for state representative. Let's switch gears for a quick second, because can we just talk for a second about the riots?
Sure.
Do you believe that there should have been a delay in federal help in Kenosha?
I think that we have to trust our local municipalities a lot. And there was a lot of help. So I'm a town supervisor from the town of Delavan.
Right.
And some of our officers even went over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had some great community support. And I think that if the officers on hand, the chiefs on hand, and that community felt they needed support, I think we need to respect them, because so much of a problem is not respecting our local governments and what they need to do. And so I think a big part of that is the local government needs to decide what to do.
So then when we have the riots and the, I mean, people want to call these people protesters and they're not.
There's two sets of things going on.
Right.
There are protesters
yes.
going on,
right.
and then there was the illegal behavior going on.
Mm-hmm.
These
Correct.
Are two separate things and two separate people. They are not
is.
The same.
It absolutely is. And we have said that multiple times on mm-hmm. this show, is that you criminals are drowning out the people that we're trying to hear in order to solve the problem.
Right.
Okay? Because I have no idea what the actual protesters' message was, because you burned everything down around them. Again, I agree with that. However, when they moved to Madison
mm-hmm.
and they started tearing down the statues up there
mm-hmm.
and they started defacing the state capitol, and they were allowed to do so and continue, really. I mean, there's really been no changes. The bottom floor of our beautiful state capitol, all of the windows are boarded up. All of this graffiti is everywhere. It's not being law and order needs to prevail. Those people need to be arrested, removed, not allowed to do that, period. That is our property, not...
Well, it's the people's property.
Well, exactly, but I didn't give my permission. It's my property, too.
Right.
I didn't give my permission for that to happen to it. You didn't give your permission for that to happen to
right.
it,
I'm
correct?
Just saying, like, when you're saying our, it's their property, too. No.
Well, that's... But they don't...
It's
they
the don't, people's property.
Okay.
It's illegal to to do what
right.
they've done, even
right.
though that it's
so
their property,
do
too.
Do you not agree, though, that more law enforcement needed to happen there? Why weren't more forces sent in to help keep that from happening? Because now guess who gets to pay for that? Me and you.
Well, the I mean, the local government made their choices on how they wanted to handle that, right? So the key is we need to prevent the events that caused this to happen in the first place. So I am a town of Delavan supervisor, and when all of this was going on, I sat down and I met with our chief of police, who is just amazing, the best man of integrity. He's just, we are so lucky to have him in our township. And I asked him about what kind of training do we do to make sure that all of our citizens and people they are in contact with are treated equally and fairly. What kind of training do we do to make sure that people we hire aren't racist or lean towards a violent behavior, those kind of things. And he went through the whole entire process and the whole entire policy with me. And I think really that's what needs to be happening, is local officials need to be sitting down with their chief of police and having these conversations and then getting it out to the public and saying, you know, yes, yes, some bad things have happened, but here's what we're doing, right? And so like in the township, our chief, our police have cameras. I think the biggest problem with what happened in Kenosha is, where was the body cam? Why don't they have body cams? So, like, I think we need to be talking about legislation that police officers have to wear body cams, right? Like, my officer, our chief, told me about how we've had a certain number of complaints, and then when we pull up the cams, we're able to say, you know, this police officer handled this correctly, right? And then in a couple instances, we were able to say, no, they didn't, and handle that. So there's no reason in this day of technology and everything we have going on, and especially in a community where we know there is racial tension, why weren't there body cams? And I think that's really the question we should be asking, because if there had been body cams, I think a lot of this could have just been avoided. So I think what we need to do is talking about avoiding it in the first place.
Well, yeah, but it really, that guy's color doesn't really matter. If he, if that same situation happened and the guy was white, his criminal history,
they didn't know his criminal history.
Yes, they did.
The time.
Yes, they did.
Not all of it.
Yes, they did. The woman is standing there. The guy's getting in the car, and he's maybe going to drive off or maybe going to get another weapon. And the woman is standing there screaming, he's got my babies, he's got my babies. What would you do?
Well, there's a lot
of... Stop him at any cost whatsoever from taking those children and putting them in harm's way, which is exactly what, actually, the mom wanted.
This is the thing. You're talking about a weapon that may or may not have been there, because there are people who have said that those are doctored videos and things. So once again, body cams would help with this if we had body cams. And we need to practice nonviolent things. There are ways to kick someone's feet underneath without shooting them when you're that close to someone. My friend is an ER nurse. And trust me, they deal with some very erratic behaviors there, and they don't go and shoot people. Okay, so there are alternatives to shooting, and we need to work on training and really getting things in order where we can do that. There are ways to restrain people without shooting them, especially when you're that close to someone. So it happened. We need to look at how we can prevent it from happening, right? So another thing that we're doing in our township is this accreditation program. And so now when the police come into their work, they're going to get 5 questions on their phone, and it's going to go over policies that we have in the township related to, if it's new changes, it might be related to racial policies, it might be related to other policies. But then they are going to take that, and it is really going to make sure that we are fostering the culture that we want our officers to have. And it's going to make sure that they have the training that they need. And so this accreditation process is very important. You'll be excited to know that Trump is one of the people who is requiring police officers to have the accreditation programs now in order to continue receiving federal dollars. But it is so important that we do things like this. But it's expensive on the township. It's costing us a lot of money to get this accreditation program. And these are the conversations we need to be having, is we know that there is a culture where people are judged by their colors. It does happen. You can say it doesn't, but it does. I teach in inner city Milwaukee. I talk to my students all the time. there is a culture where people are judged by their color. And we need to develop processes and create a culture where that doesn't happen. And we need to create a culture where you grab your stun gun instead of your shoot them gun. You know, there are opportunities to not murder someone when you are in a position of authority. Nurses have to do it all the time in an emergency room, restrain people, talk them down without murdering them. So, like, this is what we're talking about, is we have to do this. And unfortunately, when Governor Evers called the legislature in to talk about this, once again, the legislature gaveled in and out and instead just complained and complained instead of proposing actual solutions to how can we fix this problem.
So does that, you say that they're judged on color, but I judge people on their behavior. I don't really care what color you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a jerk, you're a jerk.
Right.
Doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if you're black or white. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how old you are, really. If you're a jerk, you're a jerk.
Not everyone's like you, Nancy.
And so, well, but it's very easy to say, oh, you think that person's a jerk and they're African American, so you must think that that person's a jerk because they're African American, when in fact, quite frankly, Jacob Blake, he's a jerk. I don't care what color he
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
He's sexually assaulted. He's got a whole criminal history.
Yes.
Look, he was a jerk, okay? It wouldn't have mattered. He could have been white. I would have been sitting in this chair saying the same thing. Absolutely, period, end of story. I don't care what color you are. But it's so easy to jump on that bandwagon and say, no, you're not. You couldn't possibly be judging them by their behavior or their actions. Is there any part of that education that is going to include, or that does include, the fact that, hey, you also have to understand that you have to avoid these behaviors? You have to avoid doing these things to other people. You have to avoid, here's a thought, avoid getting in trouble with the law, you know? Like, you won't get in that position if you just do what they say to do. So is there any part of that training that includes that? Because you can't automatically jump to systematic racism.
Right.
Every time, because that's not necessarily what it is. It's also systematic behavioral assessment. You know, if you continue to be a jerk, you're going to get treated like a jerk.
Okay, so, well, first off, there's a lot of microaggressions that people who are not of other races, we don't even understand some of the things that we do based on our privilege. So I have taken microaggression training, and it really opened my eyes. Like, things that you don't even realize you do, that demonstrate that you think you're superior and you don't understand it. So part of it, yeah, is we have to make sure that we are training people so that when we're in a situation where we want to de-escalate the environment, right? We want to bring this situation down from escalating to violence. The officers, the nurses, whoever is in that, the social worker, the psychologist, whoever, the teachers need to understand what in my words and my actions might be perceived as being aggressive or confrontational, right? So that they choose their words and their actions a little bit more carefully. And this goes to the platinum rule. You know the golden rule?
Mm-hmm.
Treat others how you want to be treated. That's a very selfish mentality. Treat them how you want to be treated. When I worked for HCA Patient Account Services, it's a health system, and we went by the rule, treat others how they want to be treated. It's the platinum rule, right? And so in healthcare, we want to treat our patients how they want to be treated. Not how I want to be treated, but how do they want to be treated? Do they want the room a little cooler? Then I'm going to give them a little cooler room, even though I would like it hotter, right? Things like this. So the same principle needs to be applied here. This person, I'm trying to de-escalate the situation. I need to understand how my color and my race and my upbringing is influencing how I view the situation, and their color, their upbringing, where they are influences how they view the situation. And then we need to come together to de-escalate this. And so that's where training becomes very important. Just kind of learning about things you don't realize in yourself that could have been perceived this way. And that's what needs to continue to happen. And we do this in healthcare all the time to try and provide better customer service to our patients. And when you're talking about de-escalating a situation, it is very important to understand.
I understand.
Obviously, it is very important to understand. But on the flip side of this as well, there is no respect for law and order. We have men and women putting on a uniform, leaving their homes, and totally being disrespected by all by a lot of people that are color, that are not, you know, just a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's
and
what
I
I'm
really
saying.
Feel
yeah.
That is where think, is that? I mean, we're human beings,
right? Does it also call for self-reflection?
Okay, so part of it you said is the relationships with our cops, and that's 100% true. So. Once again, I'm going to go back to the town. We have a Shop with the Cop program. Mm-hmm. And a big part of this, and just like at Elkhorn, right, we had Officer Kirkpatrick, and it was students getting to know the officers and creating these relationships, right? So, like, this is part of how we fight the
stigma.
The animosity, right, is that we have to foster those relationships and foster those programs. Those are key. Right. And when you talk about race relations, it is an integral part with it. And I think you're going to continue to get the question of if this person had been a different color, would have it gone down like it did?
Right.
If we had body cams, we could show, yes, it does or no, it doesn't. You see, so that's, once again, where I'm going back to how do we prevent these things? We need, having body cams actually protects the police officer as much as it protects the person that they're talking to.
It makes it a heck of a lot easier in a courtroom.
Mm-hmm. Right. Why weren't there body cams in such a racially charged community?
Because that's not an actual, that's I live there. First of all, let's stop. That's don't label that like that yet.
I've been there with friends, and I have friends in that community, and they feel it is.
Okay.
So
they feel it is.
So there's two different perspectives here. There is, I mean,
of course there's tension.
Wisconsin is, and that area is labeled as one of the most segregated places in the United States. I think that demonstrates that there is racial tensions in the community.
I think that that's an inaccurate label. So that's what I'm saying is that there is self-reflection in these communications with people, because I think that's also what it is that you can't just look at, you know, how you're reacting to other people's behavior. You have to look at how you're reacting to the situation, to the and to encourage people. Okay, how are you? Nobody asked Jacob Blake, "Hey, why didn't you just stop when they told you to?" You are accountable for some of the outcome here. You are accountable for it.
Yes, he is. And also on his Facebook page, I'm just going to say this. He said if he was ever taken down or by the police, he wanted the people to turn it up in his hometown, basically against police.
So there's that accountability. Like you can't, and that's behavior.
Right.
That was his behavior.
Yes.
And again, unacceptable. I don't care what color you are. So that's what I'm saying is because you're talking about, and the reason why I was talking about this is because as you go into a position, if you were to get elected, your attitude about that and the open-mindedness, not only for them, but for people like me, who I am standing here, this is my own opinion. Again, this does not reflect, we say this every show, does not reflect the opinions of this entire station or anything. This is my show. It's my opinion. I don't feel like the police were necessarily at fault here. I feel like his historical behavior. I feel like his actions that day, had he just stopped like they asked him to do, had he not tried to take a car that wasn't his, had he not, you know, had he followed the law, then you have to hold yourself accountable for the results that you that you get from your behavior. Yes, the police have to be accountable for what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're living with that, and they're dealing with that. But you have to go in when you create the, like you said, you know, you create the commissions to talk about this and the task forces and things like that. You have to be able to go in and say, okay, but yes, these are your circumstances and we understand that. But you have to choose whether or not you're going to succumb to those circumstances. And you have to have the strength and self-respect to move yourself out of that attitude. Maybe not financially afford to move out of the neighborhood. Maybe you can't afford, but you have to move your mind out of that attitude and out of that place. And so that's what I'm asking you is, as you go forth, you know, with whether it's healthcare or whether it's the justice system or whether that, do you see both sides? Can you see why I say this doesn't have anything to do with color? This is behavior. Do you see why I say that? And do you understand that that is definitely a piece of the puzzle?
I can understand that there are definitely two sides to the story, for sure.
Sure.
I know I'm repeating myself, but I think the body cams really help tell both sides without it being embellished. I also think there's a reason, right? We have the three branches of government, and we have the legislative branch, and your right to a jury trial. And right now, your news source is giving you certain information. Other news sources are giving other information. We don't have all the facts. We are not a jury with the facts being presented to us. So it is, I think, people jumping to conclusions so much right now about all of this is wrong. And even if you had previously committed crime, it doesn't mean you're committing crime at this moment, you know. And so you, in our country, we say you are innocent until proven guilty. And it feels like you're judging a lot of guiltiness here, but people are innocent until proven guilty. And that would go on both sides.
Of course, scenario.
And so,
I'm not talking about that situation.
So much of this needs to go to the court, right? And when you talk about self-respect, I mean, I would say these people have self-respect, and that we know that people of color are imprisoned more than not. We know that people of color are stopped more than other people. When I am around my friends of color, we are 100% treated differently than when I'm not around people of color. That is something that is happening and that we need to address. You two might not be the ones treating people differently, but they are. Even now, your argument to me, I hear so many microaggressions in it. Yes, part of it is that. But yeah, public school system, we need to re-look at that, and we need to focus on critical thinking. This is what you're talking about, right? The ability to say, what was my role in this situation? How can I make it different? How can I make it better?
But that's what I just said.
Yes.
Yeah, so, as you go in, is that part of the puzzle?
Yes, so
is
public education, we need to add back in more critical thinking classes. I had a critical thinking class in high school. It's not a required class for my children. I think that is really key to preventing these future problems, right? So if we're able to educate people to really think, right?
Like, right.
What is my role in this scenario? What did I do that maybe we could also address some of this too, right? It takes two people to have an argument.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, to prevent the situation, you have to look at the police side, and you have to look at the person they are having contact with. What led to those scenarios, and what can we do to prevent those scenarios from ever happening? Because I'm about the prevention. Let's prevent it from happening.
Right. This is because we're out of time, but this is my last question. There will be financial issues
mm-hmm.
because of the shutdowns, because mm-hmm. of the pandemic, right. because of, you know, again, my opinion, I don't believe that the CARES Fund has been managed properly that the federal government gave the state, but that's my opinion. There's going to be financial issues in the future. They're not going to be happy. They're not going to be pretty. We're going to have less money.
Well, so the Fiscal Bureau, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, doesn't make it as dire and
of course not.
Yeah, as you're saying. And honestly, I believe the easiest thing to do and the morally right thing to do is expand Medicaid. Why aren't we accepting those federal dollars? Why are we throwing away $1 billion so that we can't give 80,000 more people health insurance? That's insane to me. So,
but what do we do when that dries up? Then what do those people do? I think that's what the problem was.
Well, then why don't we use it until we can't?
But then what do we do when we can't? Then those people just, they're screwed.
Well, at least then they got health insurance for 5 years where they were able to stay working because they're getting their insulin, they're getting their preventative care, they're not becoming permanently disabled because their diabetes didn't get cured. Why wouldn't we take it for the 5 years it's allowed to us? It's just like when I get a grant for my nonprofit, I'm going to do the work for that for 5 years, and then in 5 years I'm going to think about how can I continue to fund this program or not, and I'm going to have to do something else. So back to my township, we wanted to hire another police officer this term, and so I spearheaded writing a business plan for us to create our Water's Edge, which is going to be a convention center and rental facility on the lake. We project that we will have enough money raised from that, that we will be able to add this additional police officer this year. So it is living within your means, but at the same time, trying to be creative and thinking about other ways that we can generate revenues that are not property taxes. Mm-hmm. and so that's something that we have to address. And so step one, just expand Medicaid. You can balance your budget and you can give better health care to people. It's the morally, ethically right thing to do. And with so many people suffering and needing to stay healthy and we want them employed, you know, if you don't get your insulin, you're going to end up disabled. It doesn't make any sense to me why we haven't done it. So that to me is like the easiest thing that we can do to balance the budget. And honestly, that amount of money is about equal to what the fiscal Reference Bureau says that is going to be lacking this year.
We are out of time.
Thank you, Nancy.
Give people what your website is so they can get more information.
Okay, it's gaulke4assembly.com. GAULKE, the number 4, assembly.com.
Awesome. Good luck. Coming up next,
Don't Even Get Me Started.
Right here on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
And now for another edition of
Don't Even Get Me Started.
Did you watch the debate?
I watched a little bit of it here and there. And I wish I would have watched the whole thing. I went to bed. It was still going on. I watched it then online and I just thought I just need to turn it off just because of my hours. So, but what I saw, I liked.
Yeah, I mean, Trump wasn't, you know, overbearing and, you know, everything like he was the first time. I mean, it was really far, far, far more civil.
Yes. And I liked the fact that they shut the mic off, which helped, I believe. I just on both sides.
I really do. Yeah,
I like that. At first I thought, but I did like it. The commentator, I felt, did a good job.
Much
she
better.
She made Chris Wallace look like a kindergartner.
Yes.
And or worse. And so I feel like that she did a much better job.
I don't know if you noticed this or not, but she would, you know, the president would say, I need to respond. And the first few seconds of his response, she'd say, OK, but da 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 and talk over him. But when Biden would say, you know, I need to respond, she would shut up. So there were differences in how, but there were very, I think they were just more subtle. And she was calmer and. I don't know.
Once again, she did as best as she can do.
Yeah, women do it different.
They do.
Yeah.
And moms, I'm telling you, a mom should be the next moderator. I know that that's over, but anytime. Like,
right.
No,
because
you be quiet.
We
you're
also,
on. You're,
right. We also don't put up with that crap.
No. And we multitask.
Right.
Anyway, so what did you think about it?
Okay, I am sad that I have to explain this to people. This is the only thing I'm going to talk about today.
Okay.
Don't even get me started because we gave Catherine her time and
yes.
we don't
yeah.
have a lot of time. And I just have the one thing. But it's sad that people don't know enough about this or that they assume something about this comment. So let me just say. So the chief deputy whip of the Georgia House Democrats. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She tweeted that. Is it tweeted? Twitted? Whatever.
Tweeted.
You know, I don't Twitter.
No, you don't Twitter.
Tweeter or whatever I'm supposed to be doing.
You do not tweet.
I don't do any of that. It's a lot of wasted time, in my opinion. I just don't have time for it. The chief deputy whip of the Georgia House Democrats tweeted,
Did at real Donald Trump just say 545 kids they can't find their parents for came over through cartels and coyotes? How the hell does a coyote bring a whole human across the border? Lord, stop talking. Okay. This is an elected official. All right?
Mm-hmm.
A coyote is another name given to the human traffickers that are smuggling people and children across the border.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He didn't mean the animals.
Animals.
He meant that those 545 kids, we didn't separate them necessarily from their parents. The criminals separated them from their parents, and we may not know who their parents are. I mean, it's not like we have 545 kids down there that, oh, we sent their parents back over the border and we kept their kids. That's not how that works.
Like so
many.
We can't
identify where the parents are in probably all of the cases, but I'll say most just mm-hmm. in case. But they certainly didn't get dragged across the border by a coyote or a cow or a parrot or a monkey. Okay, none of that. That's not what he meant. But this is an elected official. This is somebody who's making decisions about people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you put your stupidity out there. Like, please check yourself before you just please.
Right.
Just I'm just trying to save you
so
from
she
yourself.
Thought
she actually thought he meant
an
that an animal coyote dragged this baby across this human baby across the border
just to
and
come
now
to the
we
United
can't
States.
Find the parents.
And they know exactly where the border is to get across
exactly.
the border. It's like the deer crossing signs. Only cross in between the
know?
Signs.
Right, how do they know?
Don't really get that, but
so please
yeah,
don't put your
do
stupidity
better.
On display for
you
all to see.
Just do better. Do better.
Yeah, I don't know.
And that's a good don't even get me started.
I mean
honestly,
like,
where do we go from there?
I don't know where.
Nowhere.
You can't,
like, coyotes. Just,
right.
Like,
does that not, you're really grasping at straws there
mm-hmm.
to demean what he's saying
right.
when you don't have enough common sense to say, maybe, you know,
check it out.
I mean,
like,
I will give her credit. She didn't say, oh, that old lady, because sometimes they call them coyotes, right? How are all these old ladies dragging these babies across the border?
She wanted the woman voter. That's why she didn't say that. I don't know what she's
ever
the coyotes.
Please.
Honestly.
Like, common sense. I have no tolerance for that. For
if
the
she,
lack of common sense.
Did she honestly think
well,
a coyote
said, please stop talking. Like, you're just, you know, like, can you believe it? Like, I mean, hopefully somebody hacked her account.
Maybe.
All you can do. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
I doubt it.
Don't
I'm just to say, I doubt it. I'm going to have
but
to go.
I mean, just like,
I'm going to have to go look at that hashtag now on
yeah.
Twitter and just to see what else was said about that. If people didn't know or if they actually thought coyotes were dragging kids, babies across the border.
Okay, but if you actually think that babies are being dragged, human babies are being dragged across the border
mm-hmm.
by coyotes, I'm begging you not to vote. Just stay home. Stop it.
Don't go out in the wild.
Right.
Do not. You might get drug to the voting polls.
I can't even.
Don't even get me started.
Anyway.
That's a good one.
That was a good one, wasn't
that
it?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
Well, that's all we have time for.
That is.
It is. Absolutely all that you have time for. But coming up, as usual, more great music right here on Lake 96.1.